feasting on the bread of life. Now, I don't think I have to go into too much detail about this past year and a half, this thing we call the COVID year and a half, especially during the lockdowns. They were tough. But during the lockdown, there was something real special happened. Eating and eating and eating and eating. Now, the average person, I don't know about you, but I did, gained 10 to 20 pounds during that year. Some even more. And you wonder, why? Why? I'm going to give you three little things, and you can probably add 100 things to my three little things, but I think this is what stands out because I like comfort food. The first thing is this. Increased stress about the virus, or to be exact, stress eating or comfort food eating. The second thing is lack of gym access or general exercise. Now, I'm not a guy that likes to go to the gym, but I try to do a little bit of exercise. And the other thing was the lack of socialization, loneliness, isolation, depression, separation from loved ones and friends. I know Judy and I, like some of you, we didn't see our grandkids for 5 months. It was tough. But never before have we realized just how much we depended on each other for our mental, physical, and emotional, and more important, our spiritual health. Now, COVID not only reminded us what happens economically and culturally when we function in the extreme as individual units, and I don't like to use the word units, but that to give you to understand what we're saying, because we're all individuals in the image of God, instead as a community. But what happens to us mentally, spiritually, emotionally, when we're all confronted by isolation? Hope and pray that don't happen again. When our relationships are cut off and socialization shuts down. Now, I was born in 1944. But I found an article written by a man by the name of Abraham Maslow that was written in 1943, and he was a psychologist. And in his paper, he talked about human motivation. And he laid out a chart that called the human hierarchy of needs. Maslow's theory tells us that our basic human needs are physiological. We need food, we need water, we need rest to live. And when we go without food and water, our lives are threatened and we can't seem to concentrate on much anything else except trying to find what we need to live. We can't feel secure when we don't have food and water or rest. We can't concentrate on relationships. We can't feel fulfilled. We can't grow and focus on creativity and change. Only when these basic needs are filled can we move into the next level and focus on other things. What is the next level? Well, it represents safety and security. We need to make sure that our lives are not threatened by dangers, including predators and deadly viruses. And deadly viruses have been around for a long, long time, so we need to be aware of them. And the next vital level is called belongingness, if that's a word. Belongingness and love needs, needs that include intimate relationship with friends and socialization and human contact. We are created to be a touchy-feely people. We need each other. That's why hugs are so important. So when all of these needs are fulfilled, we as human creatures, and we are creatures sometimes, focus on esteem, potential, creativity, and those kinds of functions that move us towards in our lives and in our community and as individuals. But to be clear, we can't focus on our individual growth unless we first secure our relationships. We don't grow to reach out or reach our full potential unless we are engaged with a nurturing community. And that's what the church is. It's a nurturing community. So what happened during the last year and a half with the COVID? We ran short of groceries. We ran short of all kinds of supplies, toilet paper. I have a theory about the toilet paper. As I just mentioned a while ago, all we did was eat. So I guess that was the reason that people wanted to make sure they had enough of toilet paper. I don't know. I digress. But our primary focus was making sure that we could secure food and basic needs. Many people lost their jobs. Many lost livelihoods. Many lost businesses. And we all had to go kind of in this survival mode in order to make sure that we could get through this time. What else happened? Well, we were faced with a severe threat. A virus that at the time had no cure, no vaccine, and was killing people worldwide at a frightening rate. We went into the fight and flight, our adrenaline mode. And then what happened? I like that little song, and then comes Jones or something. And then what happened? In order to protect ourselves, we had to forego our dearest and most intimate relationships, separate ourselves from friends and communities. And we lost many close to us, even with not having the ability to say goodbye. You remember some of those times, I'm sure, and you probably experienced them in your own personal life. Grief rose, isolation and depression rose also. Without relationships and without our security and livelihoods threatened, we reverted to the only thing we could be sure of, food. Now, once we got our hands on it, we consumed food at a rate like we had never done before. We became like animals, or bears would be a better term, eating so much before they went into hibernation. And we stocked up on mass amounts of food. Only now, as we gradually, and I say gradually, emerging from our hideaways and caves, we're returning to some normal consumption rates. Our relationships are improving. Our community time is being restored. Thank God for all of you being here this morning. You encourage me a lot. And we're recovering from what we felt like a mass trauma or grief and depression. And we are awakening our ability to think about more vital and important things like recovery and relationships, growth, creativity, and fulfillment. For many of us, I think this feels like a new awakening. Our hunger for food is subsiding, and our hunger for life and love and connection is being fulfilled. At last, we can again focus on where we want to go from here, like being on that old gospel ship. Present, safe. We can look forward to an imagined, hopeful, and creative future. We learned a lot from this experience of what we call the COVID thing. And I think one thing we learned for sure is how much our relationships mean to us and how much our communities mean to us. And the church, we learned to redefine what church can mean for the 21st century, post-COVID future. What has it taught us? Look at those levels again for people to hear the gospel. Some folks need to be fed real food. They need basic needs to be met. They need to feel safe and social forces that threaten them. And they need to feel that they aren't in a relationship with Jesus Christ and with you and with the community. Now, that community might look a little different than it did a year ago. And we're used to different kind of things. That's why we call that over there where we eat the fellowship hall, because it means fellowship. And when we do communion, when Jesus broke bread, the disciples' eyes were opened. Bread's an important part of our life, meaning food. They need love. People out there need love. They need acceptance. They need intimacy and care. And when this happens, they too can become part of a growing, discipling, fulfilling, saving community and again begin to help others like them. It's just a wonderful thing to see the church emerging into what has always been called to do, love one another. Now, Jesus knew this. He recognized that people were coming to him, as we read in the scriptures, from all walks of life. And many of them were stuck in a place of basic needs. You ever been stuck? What are the first two important things Jesus does in his ministry? He feeds people. And as we saw last week in our gospel reading, he heals people. Did you ever notice that that it takes away their emotional and their physical distress when he feeds them first, and then he restores them into the community by healing and fellowship? It's always been a wonderful thing to follow the image that Jesus taught. When we were serving in Carabel, we had a food bank, and there were a lot of poor people in Carabel at that time. And we gave food after church. And people say, well, why don't you give it to us before church? Well, we want to be able to feed you spiritually if we're going to feed you physically. That's what Jesus did. He fed them first, and then he taught them spiritual things. So if you think about the bulk of Jesus' ministry, every time he heals somebody who had been alienated, separated from the Jewish community at the time, because that's who he was dealing with. And you often wonder, why do we talk about the Jewish stuff so much, like we talked about with the teaching on the Talit? Jesus came and was raised in the Jewish community, and he understood that. So in order for us to understand our Christianity, we need to understand our Jewishness. And our brothers and sisters in the Jewish community need to understand their freedom that's available to them through Jesus, or what we know as Christianity. Every time he healed somebody, he invited them back into the community. Let's think about the lepers and how they've been ostracized and put out. He healed them and brought them back in community again, a relationship with others, restored not only to themselves, but to God and society in a place of acceptance and love. And then, he asked them to be in relationship with him, to be disciples, to be followers, to come in a relationship with God in a new and intimate way. Jesus knows this, ultimately, what they need. After all, he created us. He created us, and he knows everything about us. That's what makes Jesus so special. God manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's why it was so important that he came to experience everything that we experience, up to and including death. Because he understood. Even though he didn't sin, he still understood everything that we went through, everything that we go by, from people spitting in his face, the crucifixion, and all the trauma that he went through, he understood. And when he was on the cross, and the two thieves, and the one denied him, and the other one said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He understands everything that you're going through. Jesus knows this very well because, like I said, he created us and he knows. And then we got what we call the discipleship cycle, the secret to Jesus' entire ministry. He started with 12 disciples. And then he went to 11. You remember what happened to the other one, old Judas. And here we are today with 2.3 billion, with a B, Christians in this world. I think that he invented network marketing, because that's what you do in network marketing. You get somebody that you want to help, and you help them, they help you, and it grows, and your business grows. The same thing with sharing the love of God through Christ. So in our scripture today, we see this playing out. Jesus had just got finishing feeding 5,000 people, and he knew when he spoke that some would be there just for the food, and some would hear him on a kind of interest and maybe fascination level. Some would be there just to bring folk for healing, and that was a good thing. But some would also become disciples. And this was Jesus's ultimate hope and desire. So when the crowd followed him, curious, fascinated by his ministry, his miracles, his healing, his identity, he asked them to follow him and believe in him, to rise above their basic needs that have now been fulfilled, and to establish a life-giving relationship with God. Fullness of life, potential, transformation, Can you imagine that we didn't have that personal relationship with God? We'd just be another dead sect. But through Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have a personal relationship with the God who created us. You ever notice sometimes when you go to a wedding, only about a third of the guests show up for the ceremony? The other two thirds will inevitably show up for the reception. I don't want to go to the ceremony. I'll show my respect by going to the reception. Well, I think it's an experience that most of us have experienced. And basically, I think the two thirds are there for the food, the pizzazz, the fun, the celebration, the drinking and the dancing and all the uniqueness of the event. But the first third that went to the ceremony are there for the relationship between the bride and the groom. They're to support them, to honor them, witness to their commitment to one another and to God in a relationship. They are the truest of community. So today, many churches around the world will celebrate what we're going to do in a few minutes, is Holy Communion, a time when we understand that we as humans have a hunger for so much more than simply fun and food, security and transitory relief. We hear that word transitory so much now. Inflation is only transitory, meaning it'll end soon. Well, I don't know about that. But our hunger runs deep. We crave a fullness of life that only Jesus can provide, a life that goes beyond bread and butter. Now, I love bread and butter. And expands into the holy love feast of blessedness, an eternal life, a security, love, fulfillment, and mercy that we receive when the Holy Spirit of God fills us and completes us. When we ask Christ into our life, we don't get him into pieces. We get God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I invite you today, as I close and prepare for Holy Communion, to think seriously about your relationship with Christ, your commitment to God as God's people and disciples of Jesus. And as we partake of the bread of life, and take the opportunity to increase your own relationship with Christ, to make him your most cherished relationship, your most cherished friend, and allow him to nurture you, fill you, and infuse you with God's promise now and forevermore. And remember, you are filled not only so that you can expand your life, but that you can now expand and nurture the lives of others. Go out and be disciples and apostles. That's what you were called to be. Be fulfilled and be blessed, so that you can be a blessing to others and all of God's children. White, black, red, yellow, they are all precious in God's sight. We are all made in the image of God. Some of us got olive skin. Some of us got red skin. And, it goes going. But everything that God created, and when he created the races, you know what he said? And it's good. It's good. So, fellowship with one another and be a blessing to all of God's children, and feed them spiritually, physically, keep them safe, nurture them and love them, and more important, give them the bread of life, who is Jesus Christ.